episode 231, Heroes Reborn,
no!
And other news. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are finally back.
Yeah, now, I'm not sure if you listeners out there realize this, but Ben and I haven't recorded together in weeks.
Yeah, at least in person together.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because
we did the Blizzard cast last week.
Let's see, 3 weeks ago we had our regular news and X-Files. And then the next week, was I sick that week?
You were sick.
Yeah, because I've been sick just like crazy.
Yeah.
For the last almost 2 months now. And then last week you were going to come, but it was, Blizzard. So we did the news, and then we were going to follow up with top five villains.
Yeah, so I hung up at you just as I was getting home. I said, let me get my car in the garage, go inside, say hi to my family. I'll call you back. We'll do it in like 20 minutes. Well, unfortunately, step one of that, getting my car in the garage, didn't actually happen that night. My car got stuck halfway up my driveway because we got a foot of snow.
Oh, man.
Took me 3 hours to dig it out. Even then, I didn't make it into the garage. So my neighbor, the only reason I made it close to the garage was my neighbor who had four-wheel drive came and pushed my car up the driveway. It got stuck a few feet from the garage. And this was, I think we finished recording at like 5:50, 5:45, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a quick 30-minute podcast last week.
This was 9 o'clock by the time I got out. And then it took me another hour the next morning to get it out of where it was stuck. Right in front of the garage and get in the car. So, yeah, that was a solid 4 hours plus that blizzard cost me.
You texted me and maybe called me, and I knew you felt bad, and I could tell that you didn't want to let me down, but I was like, no, man, don't worry about it. It's crazy weather. I mean, my wife is a high school teacher, and she was telling me they've already had 6 closures here in Minnesota because of either snow or cold weather.
Yeah,
and that's more than I've had. That's more than I had in my personal high school, elementary, middle school career combined. I never had 6 total closures my whole entire career.
Yeah.
High school career.
Right.
And so to have that happen in 1 year, this is one of the worst winters in Minnesota of all time.
It has been. Plus MnDOT, or Minnesota Department of Transportation, basically gave up on trying to fix the roads.
This has been the worst week of driving.
Well, they completely lied to us.
No,
they said that they couldn't do anything because it was too cold. But then people figured this out, that they were lying, because they took the freeway where it crosses from Minnesota into Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Wisconsin didn't get the memo that you can't put down salt and stuff when it's too cold, because their roads were perfect. So MnDOT, whatever the reason, whether there's somebody over there is just not doing their job or they're out of money, they decided to just lie to us, and they've given up for the winter. It's pathetic.
And MnDOT here is the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
That is correct.
Ben, usually you and I see each other a little bit in our off time. We don't do this as often, where we only talk during podcasting, but I just feel like I want to catch up with you a little bit. I miss you.
Yeah.
So what's
here
new?
I am.
What's new in life?
Oh, I don't know. Not a lot.
Anything exciting with the family? How's baby preparation coming?
Baby preparation is good. I have not at this episode, but after our X-Files episode, I have a good sci-fi Christian story time. For all of you who enjoy me suffering in life, I'm not going to claim that it's on the scale of the Disney World epic, because I hope nothing else in my life is ever that bad. But, I have a good follow-up to that, in that vein.
Is Annie planning on seeing the Noah movie with you?
I don't know. We haven't talked about it.
I don't think you should talk to her about it. You should go with me instead. That way we can have a date on the calendar, just you and me, a little bromance action.
I like it.
Okay.
Go parking afterwards.
Go what? Did you say parking?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's all. I'm not sure if there's an exact correlation. If last week people liked listening to you on the road, or if they liked it because it was a shorter episode.
Yeah.
But we had much more feedback on our last week news episode than we typically have.
Right.
So let's do a little bit of experiment, and let's try to keep the time down on this and see if that was the thing. And if not, then if that doesn't increase our listener feedback, I think you know where I'm going with this. We're going to have to get you on the road all the time.
Well, I think it's not so much being on the road. It's people enjoy hearing me suffer.
Yes, that's true.
So we need to find some way to put me through my own personal little hell every week as we record.
Well, I think the first piece of news is a great way to start that out. So
there you go.
It's time for terrible news.
So there I am, minding my own business, watching the Olympics with my wife, and I get a Facebook message with you. Well, I saw it on my phone, actually, and I can't remember exactly what you wrote, but actually, it probably won't take me long to find it. Like I said, just hanging out there watching probably some figure skating, because it feels like that's what's on every single night, and Ben writes to me these words, a lot of them in capital letters.
Yes.
All of them in capital letters. Heroes is coming back? Exclamation point, tons of question marks. What the heck is wrong with this world? Exclamation point, tons of question marks. You were the first one to break this news to me. Like I said, I was watching the Olympics, but somehow I missed the Heroes commercial.
Well, this is how I found out. So this was on Saturday, and I was brewing some beer with my friend Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're brewing at my place, so... You know, we were drinking while we were brewing, and then as it was getting later in the day and everything, he was kind of slowing down because he had to drive home, and so I had a little whiskey there at the end, and then I took a nice long nap after we were done.
Mm-hmm.
So I woke up at about 9:30 on Saturday night, and my head was feeling kind of hazy and everything. You know, I wasn't like drunk, but I was kind of, you know, out of it a little bit, and I log onto my computer and I see Heroes Reborn, and the thought that goes through my head is I must have drunk more than I thought I did. Like, it seriously, I thought that I was reading something wrong because I was drunk, and I just kind of stared at my computer screen, and eventually it got into my brain that this is real, this is actually happening. And then I kind of, you know, I wrote you that message. I went into denial and then went to bed and woke up the next morning and just kind of thought.
And it was still real.
It was still real. And I was like, oh, I was hoping that was just a drunk illusion.
Yeah, one of my friends told me he saw the kind of eclipse thing that you usually send Heroes. And he's like, oh, it looks like Heroes. And all of a sudden it's like, Heroes Reborn? What? And yeah, so basically here's the scoop. 13 episode standalone story arc entitled Heroes Reborn is coming. Tim Kring, who is the creator of Heroes, is coming back.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a breakaway from the first four seasons. So I know you're still in the middle of season three.
No,
so
I'm never watching
it
again.
We gave up on it? What about our Heroes Runs?
I can't do it anymore.
Oh, no.
It was physically painful to watch. I reached the point where I could not summon the willpower to hit play on the next episode on it.
Let's not say no yet. Let's just see how your summer goes. Okay, so maybe that series is over.
maybe it should be like I'll watch an episode after drinking 3-4 beers or something like that.
So they're calling it a miniseries event. I think they don't want to commit to it actually coming back, but I'm sure if it does well, they'll have another miniseries. But 2015, here's what I'm hearing. All new characters, but possible appearances by past cast members.
How could this even happen? Like, I can't believe I've accepted that this is happening, but my brain hurts trying to think of why. Nobody likes this show.
There was a press release. Are you interested in hearing what their explanation is?
Well, I read the press release, and it's just gibberish. Think of all the shows people would love to have come back in one form or another, and mm-hmm. they picked Heroes.
Yeah.
Well, how does this happen?
I know. It's weird. I'll definitely check it out for sure. I'm going to check this out, but
not me.
I'm actually for this news because it's so shocking.
What do you think? Do you even need to ask? This is. The worst news we've ever reported on this show. Heroes is the worst show I have ever seen. It is the worst written, worst acted, most incomprehensible piece of gibberish ever broadcast on TV.
Yeah, I'm surprised, to say the least. So definitely looking forward to seeing what they do with it in 2015. Perhaps they'll stay true to what they originally envisioned, and maybe we could see a really great show come out of this.
remember the part where you said Tim Kring was back on the job?
Oh, yeah.
Never You're mind. Not going to see a really great show come out of this. The guy is... He should never work in television or film again.
Well, let's move on, Ben. A runner-up for top news of the day for me...
Okay.
...was the fact that there's a sequel to a classic film coming out.
Yeah, can I just...
Yeah, you have the music?
I mean, just for both of these first two pieces of news, I think we just need to
what
have this.
What the Frodo is this?
What the Frodo? You thinking...
Now, what year did Space Jam number one with Michael Jordan come out?
Frodo!
And isn't it sad that we have to say Space Jam number one?
The first Space Jam. It was like 94, 95.
Well, good news, everybody. Space Jam 2 is in development.
After his storied baseball career. I know that because there's sequences of him in the movie playing baseball.
Yeah, and you know, Michael Jordan's not going to be in this one, so guess who's starring? LeBron James.
Well, they're in talks with... I don't think LeBron James has actually committed yet.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I just did a quick check. 1996 for Space Jam number one.
And again, news that just makes your head hurt trying to think what happened here. How does somebody reach this decision?
Well, let's look at that. Space Jam involves the Looney Tunes, and maybe as they've seen the Muppets kind of have a resurgence, they're like, Looney Tunes are sort of a similar type
thing.
No,
I can understand wanting to do another Looney Tunes movie.
But why Space Jam?
Why Space Jam?
I didn't even like this as a kid.
I liked it as a kid.
Oh, did you? Well, there it is.
I could believe I could. We got one of the worst songs of all time out of this movie.
Yeah, so I don't have any. I guess for this, I'll be for it again because it's crazy. It's just going to be crazy to see.
I mean, you're for these, not in the sense where you think they're good ideas.
Yeah. It's just like, I can't believe what we're reporting this week.
Yeah, it's just. Did the entire industry just go on really strong narcotics in the last week? I mean, what happened? What is going on?
Everybody's giving up on new ideas, and they're just going...
Oh, but there's a long jump from giving up on new ideas to bringing back heroes and developing a sequel to Space Jam. That is, even by Hollywood standards of originality, this is pushing it. I could come up with thousands upon thousands of movies and TV shows that are better ideas than this, and most of those would suck, but they'd be better than this. There's literally any idea you come up with would be better than a sequel to Space Jam or a new Heroes movie.
All right, let's move on. In other news that you're going to love, Sony has announced...
I mean, they're into board games. Why not just do Yahtzee the movie instead? That's a better idea than Space Jam 2. Yahtzee the movie. Dead serious.
Quickly, give us... Yeah, I want you to be the screenwriter. Give us a quick snapshot. What?
I have no idea.
No, you're on the spot. Okay. What would Yahtzee the movie be? Go.
Well, I think you'd probably turn it into, you got to play off what's hot right now. Dystopian fiction is hot, so you're in some dystopian fiction where the game Yahtzee has evolved into sort of a Hunger Games-like thing, because we want to rip that off, where people engage in this great game of chance, and so people trying to... develop the science of Yahtzee in terms of what's the correct number of, shakes to the dice canister to, get your...
I'm seeing...
And then you have the hero is the guy who never loses at the Yahtzee game.
He has full control of the dice.
He's figured it out, and the government's after him, and the rebellion groups are after him, and he's caught in the middle, and then there's some romance or whatever. Actually, probably a she, because it's a dystopian, so we have to have the female protagonist, and... Yeah, so there you go. Yahtzee the movie.
Better.
Horrible idea. Better than Space Jam 2.
Do you think this is a good idea? Sony has announced that they plan to release a Spider-Man film every single year starting in 2016.
Again, everyone, I won't play the music again, but it's covered on this too. It's just, what is going on?
Well, it's the same exact thing that Star Wars announced, which is every other year will be like the main one, like episode 7, episode 8, episode 9, but then they'll have a standalone by themselves. So Spider-Man 3, so what's 2016? Yeah, that would be 3, and 4 they already have in line, and then in between there will be like Venom, the Sinister Six, whoever else comes out.
I think somebody up high up in Hollywood has listened to our podcast and they heard what I said about oversaturation and they just got really mad at me about it. And I mean, this is just cosmic revenge.
To you.
I just don't understand it.
In case you liked Mark Webb as the director of The Amazing Spider-Man, he has signed on for not just 2, but also 3. So there's that.
And probably 4, right?
Not yet, but I'm sure that will happen.
Yeah.
All right, Marvel news. ABC just announced today, as we record this on Thursday, February 27th, that coming up in March, they're going to have a one-hour documentary special on the Marvel Cinematic Universe in this time slot that usually sees Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
trying to get some people actually interested in watching during that time.
So Marvel, it's called Marvel Studios Assembling a Universe. And like I said, a one-hour special that's going to also have sneak peeks into Captain America, Winter Soldier, and the Age of Ultron. Yep.
I won't be watching.
Okay, so we...
I mean, why would I watch a one-hour commercial? That's what that is. That's not a documentary. Documentaries are made by other people besides the actual company. This is a one-hour commercial.
I'm interested in this, but it definitely sounds like a special feature for a DVD.
Yes.
We announced 2 news episodes ago that they had cast Lex Luthor. We're going to have Jesse Eisenberg playing that role. Yeah. And we had told you a couple of the other people that were in the running. One of them was Adam Driver, and he's now in talks to play the villain in...
I don't think he's just in talks. He's doing it.
All right. My sources are saying he's near a deal, but okay. So yeah, Adam
episode
Driver.
Episode 7.
Star Wars.
Of the TV show Girls.
No. Well, he's from the TV show Girls, but not from just episode 7 of that show. He's going to be in episode 7 of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So he's the bad guy in Star Wars.
That was probably confusing.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, we don't cover news for Girls.
For Girls. Yet.
Yet. So, again, never seen Girls. Looks like a bad show. Better than Heroes.
You liked Sandman, though.
I love Sandman.
And so, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's working on an adaptation of the Sandman. And now, the screenwriter has been selected, a guy named Jack Thorne, who wrote the movie How I Live Now.
Okay. I have not heard it.
Okay. Me either.
And I think he's working off of a script treatment or story from David Goyer.
Interestingly, I just read Volume 1 of Sandman for the first time in my life.
You didn't like it?
2 weeks ago. What, I gave it a 2?
Yeah.
But I listened to a podcast about it, which is what inspired me to read it in the first place. And they talked about what's coming up, and I think I'll be more interested in the Pantheon aspect of Sandman.
So are you actually going to keep going?
Yeah, I'll keep going.
Okay.
It's not at the top of my list, but I'll check it out.
Someday.
Constantine.
You have like 55 books on your currently reading list.
No, it's like 15.
Just 15.
I'm doing great, though. Come on.
You are.
Give me some credit.
You're knocking it out of the park.
I don't remember exactly how many I've finished so far this year, but I feel like 11, maybe. Let me go check.
Yeah.
13 books read in 2014 already, folks. And that's no exaggeration.
Well done.
It does not include graphic novels.
Right.
So, all right. What was I? I was just moving towards Constantine.
Yeah.
Another Vertigo character. I realize after I give you this news, I haven't let you give
you
any of
not.
Your
news. You're just on a roll, but it's okay.
So they cast.
You're doing well.
They cast Constantine in the upcoming NBC TV show for that character. Have you heard who's going to be playing him?
Some British guy.
Yeah, that's correct. Some British guy. And let me see. His name is Matt.
McBritish.
Ryan.
Oh, quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
But not that one.
Not that one.
He is a Welsh actor. He had a brief run on CBS's Criminal Minds. He was the voice of one of the characters from the video game Assassin's Creed, Black Flag. Yeah, that's...
That's a claim to fame.
Yep. So Matt Ryan, watch for him, not the football player, to be Constantine. Any thoughts on Constantine?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out.
This will be much more true to the story than the Keanu Reeves version.
There's actually some interesting shows coming up this fall. I mean, you've got Gotham, which, I mean, I'm not extremely optimistic about, but it could be interesting.
For some reason, I'm not excited about that, and I should be, but I'll watch it. I'll check out the first couple episodes.
Yeah, well, IO9 just, they published a script review, and they're not 100% sure if the script is real or fake, but the script they got was horrible.
Oh, no.
So hopefully that was a fake script, but we'll see.
I did mean to read quickly, just for people that don't know who Constantine is. It Constantine in DC or is it Constantine? Which
Constantine.
Okay, so Constantine, here's what the show is going to be about if you don't know the character. Centers on a master of the occult, John Constantine, who struggles with his faith as he is haunted by the sins of his past and is suddenly thrust into the role of defending humanity from the gathering forces of darkness. So definitely a magic-filled show. He's kind of an anti-hero. He's a con man turned supernatural detective. All right, take it away, Ben.
That's exciting stuff. In a move that strikes stinks of desperation, J.K. Rowling's novel, The Cuckoo's Calling, that she published under a pseudonym, is now going to be expanded into a 7-book series.
No. This is not real.
This is real. I read this.
It didn't even do well, did it?
Well, it did after people found out that it was her. So I don't know who's desperate here, whether it's the publisher or whether it's her, because she her other novel, The Casual Vacancy, didn't do that well or whatever. Mm-hmm. But clearly, J.K. Rowling needs a new coat of paint on the yacht and is hoping that the Cuckoo's Calling series will provide it. I mean, this is just...
7 books.
You don't just sit down, I'm going to write 7 books. How about you did one? How about you try number 2? Let's see how that goes. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. I can't stand this type of thing.
You know, I'm listening to the audiobook of the second Game of Thrones book, which is Song of Ice and Fire series. When he sat down to write that, I mean, obviously you could tell he had some sort of long-term plan. Do you know any behind the stories on what kind of deal did he have with the publisher and how many books did he plan from the beginning?
I don't know what kind of contract he had, but he was planning 3 books.
Well, really?
Yeah.
And now what number is he at right now?
He's working on 6. It will be 7.
7.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he shouldn't have moved past a 3, or are you glad that he did?
No, I think he's made good use of his space. I think 4 and 5 maybe could have been a little bit tighter written, mm-hmm. but they're also transitioning the series. I won't go into all the details on why, because we're getting to spoiler territory for book 3.
They're transitioning the book series?
Yeah.
What do you mean by
that? There's just things that happen at the end of book 3 that necessitate a different type of writing and a different feel to the series after that.
Okay.
I can't get more specific than that.
All right.
Since it has, we haven't finished book 3 for the TV series yet.
Oh, no, that's interesting. So if I can finish book 3 here relatively soon, I'll be ahead of the HBO series?
Yes, you will.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the HBO series is halfway-ish, maybe a little bit more through book 3.
Okay. Just kind of curious because I just started book 2 this week. I almost got spoiled about some things through the TV show, so I thought, okay, I should just get ahead. If I'm not going to watch a show, I should learn the story. So, all right, what's your next piece of news?
Well, some sad news of the day. Harold Ramis of Ghostbusters fame is dead.
Yeah, that is sad. And I heard he was working on number 3, so now that either that's on hold or they're redoing it.
I heard
they're
still going forward with it, but I don't know. I only saw the first Ghostbusters once, and I really wasn't that impressed with it. But yeah, I'm sure Harold Ramis was a good guy.
I'm sure he was a good guy. I don't think you know this superhero villain team, but the Suicide Squad.
I've heard the name.
It's been announced that they will be joining the cast, not the cast of Arrow, but they'll be appearing on Arrow in the next 2 episodes.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
How is Arrow these days?
It was really strong at the beginning of the season, and it's kind of plateaued recently. So
it's those long seasons.
Yes, I 100% agree with you at this point.
Yep.
Yeah, and even on the Green Screen podcast, BJ McElrath was talking about how the shorter shows, like, he liked Breaking Bad a lot, and he likes Walking Dead, which I know you're not a big fan of, but the shorter seasons are just more successful in telling the good story. So
they are.
Everybody agrees, but the networks will never come around because they make money off of long seasons.
They do. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is wanting to get to syndication, you know, and where something like HBO or AMC, they're not necessarily looking for that cable syndication deal. They're already on cable. Mm-hmm. I think the only show that HBO has ever syndicated was The Sopranos. They sold the rerun rights to A&E or something like that. Mm-hmm. But besides that, they're not looking to do that. Whereas I think the magic number is generally 100 episodes.
100, yeah.
Yeah. Which is still, even if you're doing 22 episode seasons, you got to get to 5 years to do that. So I don't know. I don't think it's a good system. I think they're hurting the quality of their shows, but oh well.
Oh well.
And for whoever's sitting there thinking, oh, but Ben, Heroes is going to be just 13 episodes. Aren't you happy about that? That wasn't the problem. That was a problem. But there were far worse problems on Heroes than the length of the season. So, no, I'm not excited about it just because they're doing a shorter season.
Okay. Seth Rogen, known for his comedic acting, is co-creating a movie about the Nintendo-Sega console wars from the early 90s.
I can't imagine this being a good movie.
Did you hear about it before I just told you about it?
Yeah, okay. I read about this earlier.
Yeah, it's interesting news. And I, just because I was around during that time, I'm kind of interested to see if it's going to be a true backstory.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I think I'd rather just see a real documentary about it.
Yeah, there really wasn't much of a competition. I mean, you had Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And then after you got past that, Sega released the Dreamcast that completely flopped. Oh, and yeah, that was kind of the end of Sega. I mean, Sega's still, they're a software company now. They're still producing games, but they haven't done anything with hardware for a very long time.
Yeah, so I'm interested, but I'd rather just see a true account of what happened, not necessarily a comedic film version. So,
well, and you know, if you go back, the Sega games really weren't that good. Sonic the Hedgehog. The entire premise of Sonic is that you're running forward. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like Mario has, you know, you have to think, and you know, they're not like the most labyrinthine puzzles on the universe, but it's challenging stuff. Sonic, you run forward. It's really not a good game, despite the nostalgia.
You do collect rings along the way.
Yes, you do.
So there is that. I actually owned a Game Gear. Do you remember that even?
Oh, yeah.
It was way more advanced than the Game Boy at that time.
It was.
But Nintendo was just a more powerful name, more powerful brand.
Do you remember when you could go to Perkins, and Perkins had like Game Boys and Game Gears for
kids? I don't remember that. I remember when they had little not treasure chests, but like a fake well that you could go in there, and they had little toys for kids. And I still have my Game Gear, by the way, so if anybody out there really wants it, I could sell it to you for a pretty high price.
Yeah, you should look at and see what they're going for on eBay.
Okay, give me your next piece of news, and I will.
My last piece of news is that Game of Thrones star Peter Dinklage is set to star in a new HBO series, Beasts of the Valhalla, which is based on a series of supernatural detective novels by an author who is dead by the name of George Chesbro. I've never heard of these, but I would be interested to check them out.
Yeah, it's interesting. How often does this happen where the same channel hires somebody to do two different roles?
Yeah, I thought that too at first, but to be honest, it makes sense. Game of Thrones has such a large cast, and there was a chart published after season 3 that broke down the screen time for every member of the cast over 10 episodes, and Peter Dinklage's was the highest, but even he was on screen for a total of like an hour or something like that over the entire 10 episodes.
That's
it might have been a little bit higher than that, but still, you're talking that he's doing a total of one complete episode and change worth of work for Game of Thrones. And it doesn't feel like that when you're watching it, but I doubt that the time commitment for Game of Thrones is that extreme. Not nearly what it would be for this, where he's headlining as the sole main character.
Well, this is a great time for him because he's also going to be starring in the next X-Men movie.
So. Oh, he's great.
Update here on the Game Gear. Look, the highest I've seen so far is $60. I see one for $40, but I've seen one as low as $15. Probably not in the greatest shape.
Yeah. So $50.
$50. I'll sell it to you for $200, folks. If you're out there, $200. Very good shape. I've had it in a box for years.
Do you have games that go with it?
Yes.
Are the games included in that price?
Sonic. Oh, yeah. Games included. Sonic. I've got a wrestling one. I've got a Spider-Man one. That's all.
Or you can just go on the internet and download ROMs for free.
Kiefer Sutherland has revealed he's going to be involved in a new Mortal Kombat video game, voicing one of the characters.
Again!
He's got a good voice.
Cue the music. What? Are things that bad for you? And speaking of shows that shouldn't come back that are, I mean, we've
covered 24.
Yeah, but this is just, how desperate is he? You know, you made your money, you had your fame. Drop the mic and walk off stage.
All right.
Speaking of that, you know Calvin and Hobbes, the creator of that? So he just published his first comic or something in like 18 years. It wasn't Calvin and Hobbes, but I haven't read the details, but I saw links to it online. And I was thinking about that today. You know how much I respect that guy. he could have kept that thing going. He could have run it into the ground.
Yeah.
He could have sold the rights. He could have hired a team of writers to do it for him after he didn't want to. He could have done movies. He didn't. He did not sell out. He said what he wanted to say, and again, drop the mic, walk off stage. I salute.
Take that, science.
Bill Waterstones.
Sorry, I was just preparing to take that, science, and I cut you off there. Good job, Bill Waterstone.
Yeah.
Take that, science.
Now, that's my type of human being.
Yeah. All right, well, in today's Take That Science, we got two pieces of real-life news meeting superheroes. The military has hopes to have a real Iron Man armor operational by 2018. Ben, would you like to hear the story?
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible idea.
The U.S. military is deep in development of its own version of Iron Man, of the Iron Man armor. By 2018, we could be a whole lot closer to a real-life version of this Avenger. A news report reports that a Navy Admiral has confirmed that three different tactical assault light operator suits called Talos prototypes are in the works and could be ready for testing later this year. Though the report notes the capabilities are largely defensive, including liquid armor, which is in quotes, that can be used to repel gunfire. The suit could also feature some offensive firepower. To go along with that, they are also testing a built-in system that could stop bleeding with a medical foam in the wearer if the wearer is injured. Sadly, no mention of flying tech.
Now, I did hear about the medical foam to stop bleeding or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, that is brilliant.
That's a good idea.
That is a very good idea. I don't understand why we'd spend money on suits like this when it seems like the smarter move would be to develop systems of combat that aren't going to put humans in actual danger, or just stop killing people altogether.
Are you a pacifist now?
No, I'm not a pacifist. Okay. I'm a Tolkien pacifist.
Okay.
So I'm a Bonhoeffer pacifist. I'm somebody who I think that pacifism is a great ideal and one we should strive for. But I think like Bonhoeffer and like Tolkien believed, there are times when it simply is impractical and it does not produce the greater good. I think there, in a lot of cases, I look at pretty much any war post-World War II, and it's hard to see it as a just war.
Take that, science. Yeah.
In others, Take That Science news, Transformers, they're going to be real. Listen to this, Ben. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, is presently working on something they're calling ARES, the Aerial Reconfigurable Embedded System. It's basically a drone that can fly to a soldier and then transform into a number of different tools that the soldier can use in the field.
Okay, our military has too much money.
Let me say.
And time.
After reading
and
more.
Time.
This is interesting. Here's the official jargon. It is envisioned that the flight module would travel between its home base and field operations to deliver and retrieve several different types of detachable mission modules, each designed for a specific purpose: cargo pickup and delivery, casualty extraction or airborne intelligence surveillance, and recon capabilities. Units could direct the flight module using apps on their mobile phones or...
Oh, that science seems like a great idea. Let's have a military weapons controllable from an iPhone.
Or their tablets. Initially...
Or their tablets, yeah.
The system could be unmanned with a future path towards semi-autonomous flight systems and user interfaces for optional manned controlled flight. So the catch is that the Ares isn't sentient. So it isn't just transferring all on its lonesome. The soldier is the one who sends a signal to the robot in order for it to alter its configuration. The project is already in its third and final phase, so whatever shape Ares takes, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, this seems like a bad idea.
All right, Ben.
Is this just a publicity stunt from the military? Transformers and Iron Man are cool, so let's do stuff like that. I mean, that's just... I don't know. I think that if there's a sign that there's maybe an area in our federal budget that could be cut, I just heard two examples of it.
Two more pieces of news. Will Smith is in early talks to star in a new sci-fi thriller called Brilliance, which is about people who are born with powers.
Oh, that's original.
And they're called Brilliance.
Are you serious?
Yep. And finally, in this part of the day that I like to call
last news of the day.
Ben, are you a Farscape fan, or have you never watched it?
I haven't watched it. I am planning to, but yeah, I haven't gotten to it yet.
It's on Netflix, so it's definitely on my radar. They are working on a sequel film to pick up where it left off.
Yeah.
It's in early phases of development, so this is not a definite thing, but Farscape fans are getting pretty excited about this. So I need to watch the show. It doesn't look like it's a huge commitment on Netflix. So
right, right.
And how are you doing with Babylon 5?
I'm halfway through the final season.
Good work.
Seasons 2 through 4 were brilliant. Season 1 is pretty rough, and Season 5 is not that good.
Do you see... I've heard, though, that they had a story all along, so can you see how things that were put into place in the beginning are being wrapped up now?
Well, and that's part of the problem, is that they essentially end the story at the end of Season 4, and then they have one more season on top of it, and they are definitely spinning their wheels.
Oh, that's not good.
Like, I get that, you know, what they're trying to do is show you what happens after the main story.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is a shorter season example. If they'd done, you know, a 10-13 episode kind of coda on the series, yeah, could have been brilliant. But wow, what they've done is stretched it out, and it's pretty bad.
So I have roughly 4 episodes of Angel left, and yeah, I can return these DVDs to you.
I was wondering when you were.
Yeah, I've kind of had the back burner because I've been reading so much now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, if once you and Annie are done watching Babylon 5, we'll do the switcheroo. Yeah, give you back Angel, and I'll take Babylon 5.
Alrighty.
All right, Ben, that's all I have for news, and we also don't have any new listener feedback.
I have a listener feedback.
Yeah, I had mentioned we had some on our Facebook page in regards to our news episodes, so I'll load that. Go ahead.
All right, this is from Tim, who wrote to us via our contact form on the website, which, of course, is another way that you can get in touch with us. He says, "Hi, guys, I found y'all..." Must be from the southern regions, mm-hmm, or just likes to talk like he is, "a few months ago, and have been enjoying the show and catching up on older editions. Ben, I specifically have a question for you. This week, season 2 of Hannibal premieres on NBC. I was enthralled by the first season. It is probably the finest production I've ever seen on TV. Every single production value is... production value is excellent, from the scripts to the acting, the cinematography, lighting, sound design, set design. However, the show is incredibly dark to the point of nihilism, with no hint of redemption thus far, and I struggle with this as a Christian. As you have mentioned your fondness for the show in a recent episode, could you perhaps discuss this even briefly in a future episode? Thanks, and keep up the great work." Well, I believe we can discuss this briefly in this current episode, Tim. Yeah, I mean, it's a very dark show. And I think it's a disturbing show. And I guess that what I would say to that is I think that that's okay. I would encourage you, if you're looking to be a thoughtful viewer, which it sounds like you are, and which I think is a very good thing, to, in addition to admiring the incredible artistic quality of the show, to, as you find it disturbing and, you know, in its nihilism and the hopelessness that it presents, what is it disturbing in you? You know, what is it making you unsettled about? What is it making you think about? And to ask those kind of questions as you're watching it. I don't think that every single worthwhile form of art necessarily has to point us toward redemption. A lot of them do, and a lot of them don't. You know, I think a classic example, you know, you look at Dante's Divine Comedy, which certainly, taken as a whole, ultimately winds up in redemption. But if you just take the first part, Inferno, it's a very hopeless situation. And Dante forces us to look into that hopelessness and be disturbed and be grossed out and be all these horrible things as he's describing the circles of hell. And it should disturb us and it should shock us and bother us. But it's not a purposeless, you know, shock value. It's not a purposeless, sensationalized, we just want to push the envelope as far as it goes, in either Dante or Hannibal. I think that what it's trying to do is uncover a piece of darkness and cause us as viewers or readers to look at that and think about what that means, think about what that reflects from our world. So I guess I would encourage you to do that. I think that a lot of times we, you know, there's a lot of Christians who would say you shouldn't watch that. And I just fundamentally disagree with them. Again, going back to Dante, I think that is the single greatest work of Christian art ever produced. And it's also one of the most disturbing works of art ever produced. And I think that disturbing and unsettling things can be a good thing. You know, maybe not for the whole of your entertainment. But if you like the show, take it to that next level and ask yourself some of those questions as you're watching it.
Good response.
Thank you, sir.
Dave wrote us an email. I'm not going to read it because it's pretty long. But okay. We asked for a real-life experience.
Yeah.
And he gave us one, a real-life kind of crazy experience. I won't give you any details right now, but you read that message?
I haven't read that message.
Oh, he sent it to both of us back on February 20th. Anyways, Dave, I think we should get you on the show for a brief. You could briefly tell a story here on the air, like we asked other listeners.
Was it a Facebook message?
It was both an email and a Facebook message. So,
Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson, yeah.
Oh, I have to... I'm sorry, Dave. I missed it.
Yeah, so Dave, we'll have you on the show if you're interested, just for...
We'll do a segment.
A quick segment. Yep. Okay. So Daniel Ford wrote on our Facebook page, Matt, can you give more details on why you didn't like the Lego movie? Was it just boring or not very witty? I've also seen everyone I know say it's amazing and was really looking forward to seeing it. So I agree, Daniel Ford, not Daniel Butcher. Yeah. Daniel Ford. Everybody says I like it except for me and Daniel Butcher. So because of that, Daniel Butcher and I are going to be guest hosts on the Geek This podcast, and we're going to talk all about our experiences with the Lego movie. So when that's recorded, I will give you a link, Daniel Ford, and you can check out why I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, you say you're the only two. That's only because I didn't see it.
There. See, exactly. That's exactly right.
And now everybody's mad at me. You're prejudging the movie. Yes, I am.
We did have quite a few people said that they loved our conversation on the internet and where it came from.
Yeah, that was... Speaking of disturbing things, Tim, and unsettling things, yes, that conversation was disturbing and unsettling.
And finally, we had some great responses to our last X-Files episode. Wayne Henderson wrote, great episode, guys. Makes me want to do a Netflix rewatch. J.S. Earl said, great episode. Love X-Files and love your excavating. We basically just wanted to thank you guys for all of your different feedback. And if you do like the X-Files and you do like our excavating, check out the next episode, which will be episode 232.
I don't remember.
I think that's where we're at.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our next part of that whole deal. So, Ben, that's all I got.
Alrighty.
What do you want to do next?
Oh, let's go X-Files.
So we end it?
Yeah, let's end it.
All right. Hit that music. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on the Sci-Fi News episode this week.
It's one of the weirdest news weeks we've ever had.
That was, Space Jam 2, Heroes Reborn.
Kiefer Sutherland going Mortal Kombat.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
The military wasting your money and mine. If you're American. If you're British or elsewise. You're probably okay with that.
And you are?
Ben DiBono.
Well, we have the Sci-Fi Christians signing up.
Yeah, goodbye.